Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
How are we feeling this morning? Good? Yeah, you guys are lively for being, you know, the time change. Hey, we got Metro in the house. Can you make some noise for them? What's up? What's up, Metro? I know, I got a noodle. We got noodles for you too, or a noodle for you. Anyways, hey, we got a live stream as well. This is going to be a great service. We got some college students, right? Isn't it like spring break or something like that? If you're a college student, make some noise. Oh, okay. All right. Nice. Glad you're here. Why do I have one of these? Here's why. So I grew up in the Middle East, and I can swim. I'm not like professional swimmer, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many of you can swim? Anybody can swim? Swim? Okay. How many of you can swim, but you'd rather stay in the shallow? Right. I'm like a noodle swimmer. You know what I mean? Which sounds weird, but I kind of like to do this when I jump in the lake, because I've jumped in the lake before and I'm like, I can swim. And then I realize I can't touch the surface. And then I'm like, I can't tread water for long. And so I need one of these. So I like this. And you know what? If you've not enjoyed the lake before, if you haven't been to a lake, or you can't really do this in the ocean, right? You can't do this in the ocean. The waves are ridiculous. Okay. But if you, or in the pool, you can do this. But this is sweet. Like the lake noodle life. Hashtag noodle life. Sounds so weird. Is ridiculous, right? But it is fun though, isn't it? Like you're out there, you got your favorite drink, relaxed, it's awesome. Life is great. Getting a tan mostly here. You know, it's great. It's awesome. It's awesome. But you know, life has moments like that. But the life you and I want to live calls us to more. So this morning, I'm going to start this series called Reclaim. You probably got one of these. If you didn't get one of these, you might be sitting on one of these. I'll get to it a little bit later. But the idea is that God's calling us to reclaim certain things in our life, or claim certain things in our life. And this morning, I want to talk about the call. Like the call for you to go deeper into what God has for you. Now, I know we want to, you know, float around on a noodle and just enjoy life, but could it be possible that God's calling you to more and to go deeper, and what does that require of you? So this morning, that's what I want to talk about. No, I want to get rid of this noodle. We got a noodle for you at Metro as well. Who wants this? Does anybody want this? I just want to throw this, honestly, and you can't sue me. First of all, because it doesn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt, okay? And there's a person right there who wants it, so I'm gonna try this, okay? Thank you, sir, whoever that was. You're my best friend. That was perfect. I'm great at that stuff. So let's talk about that. Let's jump into a passage of Scripture. If you got your Bibles, grab those. If not, grab your phone, whatever you got to do. We're going to go to Luke. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to go there. Now, here's the big idea. The big idea is that could it be possible that God's calling you deeper into when it comes to a relationship with Him? Like, you are what you are right now. It's cool. It's hashtag noodle life. It's all good. You're relaxing. But God's calling you to deeper. Could it be possible that God's calling you a deeper relationship with Him? What does that look like? What does that mean? Do you feel, do you sense a call? Maybe a sense to go to a deeper commitment when it comes to your relationships. Like, regardless of where you are in your relationship right now and the kind of relationship, you know, it may be marriage, friendship, dating. What does it look like? Could it be possible that God's calling you deeper? Maybe a deeper resilience to the call, the purpose, the goal in your life, because you've hit some roadblocks, you've got some discouraging news, you've got some things that you've been chronically dealing with, and in the middle of that, God's calling you deeper. Could that be possible? I believe it is. So let's jump into this passage. It's in Luke, and it's actually the call. It's the call for the first disciples. So Jesus, we always talk about Jesus and Peter. If you don't know, Jesus and Peter have quite the relationship, and he was one of those prominent disciples and became an apostle. But the first time he met Jesus is this story. So this is the first time he meets Jesus, and so it's really profound because as soon as he meets him, he calls him to go deeper. And I love this. So let's just jump in. It says here, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, he saw a lot of people just hanging out. Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So as he saw at the water's edge, two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and it was belonging to Simon. This is Simon Peter, by the way, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. So basically, he's like, just go out to the shallow water. What Jesus was trying to do was, he's like, there's a lot of people here. The lake situation, the beach creates acoustics that's really great for speaking to a crowd. So he goes, I'm going to get on this boat, just pull out just a shallow water here, and so I can speak to the whole bunch of people that are crowding around. So he did that, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Well, when he had finished speaking, though, he said to Simon, let's just stop right there. So he got into Simon's boat. Simon's been there the entire time. He's been there the entire time doing his stuff. And what was he doing? Well, he was washing his nets. He was a fisherman. Now, I don't know what it takes to wash nets. Anybody washed nets before? Hair nets? Anybody hair nets? Washed any hair nets before? I don't know what it takes. But all I do know is like he was wrapping up for the day. And fishermen those times were, they used to fish at night. The kind of fishing they did was usually they needed smaller fish, cooler water. They needed the fish to come up because in the Middle East, in the morning time, it's really hot. Fish don't come up. So they had a plan. This is the kind of fishing they did. But they'd fished all night, but they didn't really catch a lot of stuff. So here's Jesus in Peter's boat, and he's talking. And then when he's done talking, he turns to Peter. This is where we pick it up in verse 4. He says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, what did he say? He said what? Put out into what? Deep water. So this is significant to the call that I want to talk about. This idea of leaving the shore, leaving surface, leaving the shallow, going deeper. He says, go out to deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, let's just stop right here. Now, this is pretty interesting that he calls him to do this. But what's profound about this is the idea that Jesus is telling Simon to do this. Okay? And if you don't know why I'm referring to that, let me keep on reading. Simon answers back. He says, what? The word, what is the word? Master. Now, the Greek word in this, that Luke translated in, okay? So he writes this down. The Greek word he used is the word epistata, which actually means boss or chief. Now, I'm not sure if Peter was being sarcastic, but if you know anything about Peter, he's kind of like that. So he says, hey, boss, we worked what? All night, and haven't caught anything. And you're a carpenter. Yeah. And a rabbi, apparently. Cool thoughts here. Wow. You should start your own nonprofit. Motivational speaking. It's great. When's the last time you caught anything? Have you ever had people who don't know anything about what you do give you advice to do stuff? Anybody? Yes. You're like, wow, I didn't even think about that. You're blowing my mind. What? I'm the dumbest person in the world. What? So he's like, hey, boss, chief. I don't know if you know, that thing I was doing, that's called washing the nets. That I don't know. That means I'm putting crap away. I'm done. But then he turns, right? He says, but, because you say so, and because everybody else is looking at me, I will let down the nets. I'll let down the nets. So let's go. What happens? Verse 6, it says, and when he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They began to break. So they, signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats in full, so full they began to sink. Now, back in those days, the Galilean or the fishermen of Galilee, their boats were not the kind of boats we're thinking of. They were probably like a 8x20 kind of a boat, okay? Not huge, but pretty significant. And so you needed a lot of fish to overpower those boats. And so you've got, he's catching so much. It's ridiculous. Like, what just happened? I mean, it's like, I don't know. Like, what did he do? Is it a miracle? Is it true? I mean, are they hopping into the nets? Like, what is going on? He gets so overwhelmed by it. They're running around doing stuff. Time has passed. And Simon at some point looks around going, I can't believe this. Do you know what this means? Like, he's not thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I caught something. Which have you ever gone fishing, by the way? Anybody gone fishing? You gone fishing, right? Okay, now I've gone fishing, like a serious fishing. Like, I mean, like I actually had legit equipment, okay? And it is so hard to catch fish. And for some guys, it's so easy. I'm like, what are you? They're like, and they're, I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, it's a trick. But here's what I realized. Now, I used to judge people. Let me just tell you, I used to judge it's mostly guys, actually, that would put on Instagram or Facebook, whatever, their pictures of their fish, right? And they still do it. Doesn't matter. They go like, hey, like this is the biggest accomplishment of my life. I'm not going to eat this thing. I'm going to throw it away. And the fish's face is like, seriously, just let me go or kill me. Do something, you know what I'm saying? But do not make me pose for a picture. The fish is thinking, seriously, okay? So I get it, though. I get it because I didn't realize how hard it was to catch a fish, to one fish. I want to take a picture. I did. I did the same thing. I took a picture with a fish and posted it. I mean, that's the same thing. But these guys are fishermen. So they've caught fish before, one or two, three or four. They've caught fish. But this amount of fish is astronomical. To the point, the fisherman's boats gets overwhelmed, but then Peter himself gets overwhelmed because here's what he does. Verse 8, he says, when Simon Peter saw this, all of this happening, he fell at Jesus' knees and said what? He said what? Go away from me, Lord. I am what? A sinful man. Like, have you ever gotten so much grace or generosity? You're like you have to look back like, is this really happening? Like, are you giving me? Is there a catch? Is this happening? So he looks and goes, "Oh my gosh!" See, this is the true response to, like a irrational level of generosity, and an irrational level of grace. And you and I have felt this before. I think some of us, there are all kinds of people here. You're trying to journey. You're through this relationship with God. Some of you guys are at different places. And it's, for some of us, we've gotten to a place where we just stopped and been overwhelmed by God's grace. And the first thing we think of is, I am not what? Worthy of this. I'm not. You know me. I'm not that good. I'm not that nice. I'm not that clean. I'm not this holy. I'm not. And he's like, I'm not. In some translation, it says, I am a man with unclean lips. He's basically saying, I have done, said, thought things that are just horrible. And he goes, just get away from me. I don't deserve this. And then, for he and his companions were astonished at the catch of this fish they were taking in. And so what happens, right? And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, he picks him up and he says, hey, he says, don't be afraid. And this is lost in translation. He's like, hey, this is not what you need to be concerned about. This is, I get it. But let me just tell you. And then he says this. He says, from now on, you'll fish for people, which is, again, lost in translation, because he says you'll be fishers of men. Like, you're going to do something that you're not just going to catch fish. No. I know you're overwhelmed with a blessing. No. I'm going to make you a creator of blessings. Like, I'm going to make you one that actually provides blessing for other people. Not just give you a blessing. I'm going to make you one. Like, there's a bigger thing out there I'm calling you to. It's and again, it's connected to the idea of going deeper into deeper waters and going down and listening to what I say and responding to it. And so what happens? He calls him. He has a relation. He has a conversation with him and says, hey, this your life is more than you accumulating all the good things and all the goals and all the purposes and dreams and destiny of your life. It's more than you collecting all the blessings and the perfect this and the perfect that and all the things. No. It's you becoming a person that actually provides that for other people. I'm moving you out of just being a fisher of people, or I'm sorry, of fish, but a fisher of people. Like, are you going to impact people's lives, not just your wallet? Not just your bank account. No. People's destinies, other people's destinies. And so what happens? When he gives them and he calls them to that, verse 11, what do they do? So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, obviously, this didn't happen like in real time. It wasn't like, okay, these fish stink, someone else deal with it, we're leaving. No, these people had families. These guys had families, they had responsibilities. No, what happened after that, what Luke is trying to get to, is they did leave everything they knew and move towards what God was calling them. Move from a shallow life into a deeper life. And the call was to go deeper. The call was to, hey, there's an unknown, there's a reality that you could step into, but I need you to actually listen to me and do it. And here's the beautiful thing about it. All of us feel that. But the questions we deal with are real. Because when you hear something from God, when you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with right now, and you're looking at your options, you're like, is this even God? Do I have a call? I'm not quite sure. I feel like a nudge. I feel like a sense. I don't know. There's a sign. I ate something and then I felt this. I mean, like, no. What is it? So let me give you a couple things. Number one, here's how you could figure out if this is God or not, okay? If whatever God, whatever you feel like you're being led to. Number one, is there uncertainty? Is there uncertainty around it? So if you're saying, is this God? How many of you have ever said that, Metro? If you said, is this God? Perfect. You know who was asking that? Peter. See, we are reading the story and we know the characters. Peter didn't. So we know the Lord stepped into his boat. Peter was like, some dude just stepped in my boat. What's going on? He's a carpenter. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing? Okay, I'm doing you a solid. We're going to do this, but after this, you know, the shore thing you preach, we're good, right? We're good. No, he was just helping a brother out. That's it. He didn't know that the Lord had, he didn't know he was the Lord. And so when the Lord told him to go do something, he was like, okay, sure. See, when you feel a nudge, when you feel something, you're just like Peter. You're asking the same thing. There's uncertainty. You don't know if it's God who stepped into your boat. You don't know if it's God. And that's how God likes it. Like, you would think he would be like, hey, it's me. This is me. And here it is. You would think, but no. Jesus never wore a name tag that said, hello, I'm Jesus, son of God. No, he's the guy who never introduces himself at parties. I brought the wine, but that's about it. I'm not telling you my name. Like, what's the deal? Why? Because with God, there's never a guarantee. Like, God never says, you do this, you give, I'll double your money. He doesn't. Now, he talks about giving as in, like, you'll be overflowed, but he doesn't make promises like contracts. He doesn't go, I'll do this. There's no money back guarantee situation. There's an uncertainty. There is an unknown. Do I know this is God? No, you don't. That's part of it. So embrace that uncertainty. Number two is that, was your heart listening? What does that mean? What do you mean was a heart listening? See, so Simon's, you know, doing his thing, washing his nets and all that. He's listening to the message, but he's also allowing his heart to hear. You see, some of us, you hear all kinds of things. And then there are times where your heart begins to listen. So like it happens here, okay? Now I've been in your place. So I've sat in seats and people are speaking and the speaker talks and blah, 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 blah. He's like, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then he or she says something. You're like, hey, wait a minute. And you're like, this is God. How did he know? No, your heart just started listening. Your ears were listening all day long. Your heart just leaned in. All of a sudden, it's like your heart's like, "Hey, pay attention! What? What? This is it. This is real. This is you. This is for you." And so, is your heart listening? Do you resonate with this idea, this call, this opportunity? It scares you to death. You don't know. It's unknown. It's uncharted. You haven't done this before. But I know it scares you. But does it make you feel something else too, though? Does it draw you? Then it might be God. How about this? Will it cost you? So whatever God's calling you personally to do, will it cost you? Now we're talking about you. I'm going to talk about us. We'll get to that. But for you, will it cost you something? Because it will cost you. It will cost you your personal goals, dreams. And you know this. We all know this. We do this. We just don't like it. You know what I'm saying? But like it's like when you go to a restaurant, you know it's going to cost you. You just don't like really? $12 for that? How many pieces? Right? I don't want to be the guy asking. I'm thinking it. I was like, how many? Really? It better be like freaking amazing. You know? Bread's extra? Really? You know, it's one of those things. And with God, it costs you. It costs you too. It does. It does. Like salvation had a cost, right? And he paid it. And so it's free to us, right? But everything else is extra. Everything else is extra, right? He took care of the big things. And then now the small things, this life is about you paying the price for it. So there's a cost. Will it cost you? If it's gonna cost you your reputation, your habits, your routine, then it's probably God. How about this one? Does it get you out of shallow water and out of the lake life and out of the noodle life and into deeper waters? Does it cause you to have a deeper sense of commitment when it comes to your relationships? Does it? Okay, then maybe this is God nudging you. Does it cost you? Does it make you go deeper into having a deeper resilience and tenacity when it comes to the goals and the failures that you have to overcome? What about does it cause you deeper into a relationship with a personal relationship with Him? Does it make you do that? Will it make you do that? Will it make you like pray more than you've ever prayed before? Maybe that's God. Does it make you go deeper? So what does that look like for you? What is God calling you to do personally? Now what we're going to do, though, in this series we're calling Reclaim, I'm going to talk about you, like your family, you, and then us together, right? This is a story of you, but it's also a story of us. And so us, I want to present like what God is calling us to do, and it's all of those things, right? It's uncertain. It's something that our hearts are responding to. It will cost us. It causes us to go deeper, but it's about us. It's about us. So here's what I want to do. Before I get into that, I do want to give you a couple of tools. Like, okay, so Naeem, okay, for me personally, I think this might be God. I think there's something there. What do I do? Great. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you two things really quick, okay? First, number one, this is how you respond. You respond by refocusing your priorities. What does that mean? You refocus your priorities. There are so many things in your life that are important. No doubt about it. There's so many things you need to do, accomplish. There's so many things, okay, that need to happen. So many decisions to be made, so many bills to be paid, all of those things. You got so many things going on in your life. But if God is calling you to whatever that thing is in your head, in your mind, in your heart, whatever that is, then you have to refocus your priorities. You got to figure out what is the most important thing, because you're in a season of life. And in this season of your life, there's something that needs to be important. Every season of life is different and for different people. So what is the most important thing? What is the priority that needs to be number one so you can actually move towards that call? You have to refocus. Now, on staff with our church and, you know, with our staff culture here, we talk about being, you know, like all the things we have to do, and we talk about being efficient and all of those things. And we've recently introduced this idea about monkeys and mooses. Okay, now bear with me here. Okay, so actually, Kristen, who's director of Metro, she brought this up, but she's talking about this idea about, like, there's so many things we have to do in our lives sometimes, and when we get up in the morning, there's a list of things and the list of activities, to-dos that we have to chase down, and they feel like little monkeys. They feel like monkeys. Like, so, like, have you ever, like, done so many things, and at the end of the day, you're like, I'm so tired, and I don't know what I just did. Like, why am I so tired? What did I just do? It felt like you were chasing what? Monkeys. And if you got 16 kids, you're literally doing that. But I feel like sometimes I'll go through a whole, you know, week sometimes, and I'm like, I've been chasing monkeys all week. I'm knocking this out, this, because I like monkeys. They're cute. They're cute. Some of them are cute, you know, but they also help me, because I'm like, I caught one. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got 20 monkeys. Doesn't matter, because there's a difference between monkeys and a moose. And a moose, you got to hunt down. A moose is that big thing you don't want to go get into. That project, you're like, how about I do 20 monkeys instead of one moose? Have you ever done that? You're like, we are going to do this, but I'm going to start on other things, warm myself up a little bit, and then I'm going to do this big thing. And that big thing has been going on for 5 years. Never happened. Why? Because it's a moose. It's like it causes you to sit there and go, I don't want to do this. Oh, why? Because we rather be distracted by least important things, because the most important things causes us to really refocus. And we don't like doing that. And I don't like doing that. But you've got to figure out, how do you refocus your priority? Can you decide this is the most important thing? And lastly, and secondly, you have to align your behavior. So you refocus your priority, and you align your behavior. What does that mean? That means you are what you naturally do, you decide, I'm going to do the opposite. I would rather distract myself with all the fun stuff than really do the most important things. So what do I have to do? I have to realign my behavior. That means my actions, my thoughts, my schedule, my time, my energy, it all has to be managed towards realigning to that behavior. For some of us, the call you have, the idea you have, what God's calling you, it's as simple as going, is it really important? And if it is, then make it important. Then make it the moose, and then go after it. Go after it. Change your behavior. Do that. Now, that's personal. What does it look like for us as a church? Now, I'm really pumped about this, because it's been a long time coming. It's been a long, long time coming. If you don't know anything about us, as in this is brand new to you. Maybe you just started coming. This is your first weekend. Maybe you've just spent like a couple of months with us, and you're like, I'm getting to know a little bit about our church. And just so you know, like this space right here, the Hope Center. If you're here, right? This is we've just been here for 5 years. I mean, we haven't been here that long, but we've been going for 14 years. And for 14 years, last last week, we celebrated our 14 years and our anniversary. We talked about or showed you guys all the things that God's called us to do and allowed us to do, and it's been great. And then we got Metro, right? Metro, what's up? And we started about a year and a half ago, and it's a thriving community there, and we rent out that space, and God's allowed us to just do some things. So he's called us to do some things, and we've stepped up, and now I believe God's calling us to step up even more. And this Reclaim Project, this idea of daring to possess the promise, is our next step. Okay, so what does it mean? Now, I want you to take this. Now, I'll tell you what. You can read this later on, at lunch, whenever, put it in the bathroom. I don't know if you do that kind of stuff, whatever. But you need one of these to take home. You need one of these to take home. And then you probably got one of these. If you did not get one of these, okay, we'll hand one of these out to you before you leave. So you got three things. Let me summarize this for you, because this is reading material for later. Basically, what this talks about is this. So, we are doing really good right now. We're doing really good. Yeah, we are. Financially, we're killing it. Seriously, we're managing all our stuff, people, life is good. We got a little cool place here. Metro's going awesome. It's just all kinds of good gravy. I mean, we could just noodle life this thing and we could just go like, that's awesome. That's awesome. The problem is that that we started this church with this idea that God wanted us to reclaim the message and movement of Jesus, which means that to reshape and to take back the message, because it's been preached in a way that's not full of hope. It's communicated like there's hope for some people. If you believe right, or you think right, or you're like this, or you come from there, or you're born like that, blah, 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 all kinds of things. It's like this idea of religion. It's like, hey, it's hope for some. And I want to just tell you right now, the reality is, the reason why Mosaic and churches like Mosaic exist is to reclaim that, because there's so many churches out there that preach this message that's only hope for some. They won't say it, but if you don't look like them, you're not welcome. And you know it. You know it, I know it. That's why some of you guys walk in here and you're like, you think you're like unique and different. You walk in, you're like, oh great, everybody's different. I was talking to one dude, and he came in, and he was like, man, when I wore my makeup and came to church, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to shock them. And I walk in, like, oh, great. I'm not even special. I was like, and I'm like, no, you are special. You're unique. Everybody's unique. But we're trying to create a space, and we're trying to reclaim the message, and the message is the hope for all. But Jesus is for all. And the movement is for all as well. The movement of Jesus, the church of Jesus looks very different. And the future church of Jesus will look very different. And we're trying to reclaim that. But what that means is physical space, we're outgrowing. And so we need to do something. And what's been amazing is that these guys right next door, right here. Now, Metro, you might have not experienced this, or live stream, you might not experience this. Some of you guys just maybe have just experienced this a couple of minutes ago. You might even experience it again. What am I talking about? Kids. Have you heard voices of kids? Yeah, you've trapped them. They're there for, No. Some of your kids, though? No. No, we have not. There, that's the bounce house, and that's the wall. And they just love throwing parties right when I'm speaking. And I've tried to, and some of you guys are sitting around, and I've seen your eyes, like if you're new, you're like, is that my kid? Oh my gosh, I'm gonna, that's not your kid. Your kids are on that side. They're good. These little hellions, no, I'm joking. But anyways, these guys are ready to sell, my friend. They're ready to sell, and we are in serious negotiation about what is the possibility of us actually getting that space. We have a backspace that we're upfitting for our next generation. We have another backspace that's available as well. And we're like, okay, all these things have been given, like opportunities that were not available now first are thrown at us. And we're like, okay, what does that even look like? And so what we've realized is this, for us to actually go deep, for us to actually move forward, move into uncertainty, and actually do this with a plan, we got to do two things. Number one, we've got to create a model where we can actually take our facility and future facilities and provide additional resource income resources, which means that we have to leverage our facility and future facilities to actually make money so we don't carry the burden, our tithe and offering doesn't carry the burden of providing all of this. So we're thinking of a preschool, we're thinking of an after-school program, we're thinking of all kinds of things. We're actually hoping that they will give us all the bounce house stuff too, so we can have, it's not bounce you, it'll be mo bounce. No, it won't be, because that's dumb. Okay, but, or you bounce. No, anyways, all kinds of dreams, okay? But we need to do that. Number one, we need to do that. We got to figure out a way to do this, and we can do it. We can do this. We've had so many conversations with people around the city. What will it take for us to actually build a playground? And we've had one company just donate the funds and the resources to clear out the land and build that for us for free. So God's doing some amazing things. He is, really is. And we want to go, okay, God, is this you? Is this you? And so there's a lot of things we're like, okay, I think this is. So we are doing that. We got to do that. But also we have to generate more funds here. We have to go into a project, a campaign. And so we've talked to people. We've asked people. We've working with a firm that helps churches raise money in a healthy way. And what we realize is that the size of the church we are, we can only raise $1 million in 2 years. More than that, it would be unhealthy. And so we don't want to do that. And if you've been around Mosaic for 14 years, we've never passed the plate. We just don't do that. We don't need to do that. Okay? But we do need to move forward in what God has for us. And so we want to do this. We want to raise $1 million in 2 years. And this campaign is all about that. This month, we're going to be talking about it, but I want you to just start thinking about it and praying about it. Nothing today. Just take this stuff. Okay, take this stuff. Here's what it's going to allow us to do. Number one, this is huge. Metro, listen up. This is huge for you. Okay, it's going to reduce our debt and make us financially flexible in 2 or 3 years. So then when we've got this space, Metro, that right now is renting, will have a permanent location. So we are doing stuff right now, so in 3 years, we'll be at a place that we can actually step into what God has for us. But we have to start now. So what does that look like for us? Remember, we talked about you. This is us. What does that mean? The same. It means this. It means that we have to refocus our priorities. What does that mean? That means that for some of us, if you already have so many things going on, when it comes spiritually, how important is Mosaic to you? You've been coming and you serve. How important is it? You got to decide, how is it? Because because the amount of life change that's happening here and the amount of legacies that are created here, friends, are created by intention. I mean, this yesterday, I was on stage doing a funeral in this room for a volunteer who passed away. And, you know, it was beautiful to see her slideshow of pictures of Mosaic. You know, she was an amazing, amazing volunteer. And she loved the people of this church. She loved the diversity of this church. And she loved giving back. She left a legacy. And she did this because, and she contributed and left a legacy because she believed in what we were doing. And see, there's so many people here who've created this space for you. Just so you know, this space was created by other people. Some of you guys obviously helped to do this, but there are people who created Metro. Metro did not exist. All those things did not exist. People gave towards that. They are leaving a legacy. They were called to something more. And so this opportunity is again for us to go deeper, to go wider. So it has to be important. Is it important? I need you to consider refocusing your priorities and then realigning your behavior. What does that mean? I need you to jump in, man. I need you to jump in. If you're not serving, I need you to serve. If you're not connected, I need you to connect, okay? I just had a conversation with a person today about they're talking about giving me their information. They were joking about do I want her email? I was like, I don't want your email. I want your number, you know? And she was like, I'm not going to give you my number or anything. But then afterwards, she was like, okay, I've been coming for a while, and she hasn't been to church in a very, very long time. Decades hasn't been to church. And I love the fact that I see her. And she was like, okay, where's the 10-minute party? You know? Is that where they take your information? I was like, yeah. And I was like, are you going to do it today? She was like, well, we'll see. Maybe. I don't know. I love it. That's okay. But you have to move forward. I would love for you to make Mosaic important in your life and then to realign your behavior. What does that mean? Friends, it comes to, like I said, like giving, but it also is the big thing is giving. Giving, giving, giving. Some of you guys serve, but you don't give. And man, I know it's like deep waters for you. I get it. But I know for a fact that if your priority is Mosaic, if your church family is Mosaic, if Metro is important to you, you gotta start giving. You're like, Naeem, I don't know. I can't tithe. I can't tithe. 10%, right? Isn't it 10%? I don't know. Let me just tell you right now. I get that. I came from a Muslim background, okay? So we have a very different concept of like giving and what that even looks like. Here at Mosaic, we do this, okay? I don't know of other churches. I don't even care. But here at Mosaic, we talk about being percentage givers, okay? What does that mean? You just decide to make giving an importance, and you decide it on a percentage. What percentage is up to you? You're like, hold on, what? Yeah, it's up to you. Because sometimes, you know, you live your life, and you get involved in so many things. You honestly look at the numbers, you go, we can't really all of a sudden make room and give away 10%. That's real life. I get it. But you can go, I can do one. I can do two. I can do five. And what I've told people is start with one and then move on. Okay? But you've got to, and we have to make that a priority. Ash and I do the same thing. We started, fortunately, we started with 10 early on in college. I started giving in college, and I just made that a priority. I don't pay bills first. I'd give money first. I'd get a tithe first. I just do it. Okay, that's just my thing. I have never had to worry about a bill. I'm just telling you, okay? I'm not saying that's the guarantee. I'm just telling you, never had to. But we start doing that, and we move it up. So we don't give 10, we give more. I think we are close to 12% right now. But that's our thing. It's our thing. So here's what I want you to do. What is your thing? Because here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to tell you what you should do. The only thing I will ask you to do is to pray, is to lean in, allow your heart to listen to what God's saying. What is He telling you to do? So this card that I mentioned, if you didn't get one of these, you'll get it when you leave, okay, Metro. If you got one of these, here's what I'm asking you. Take this card for the next couple of weeks. Put it somewhere you'll see it. You're like, can't take a picture of it. Of course you can. I don't care what you do with it, all right? Just don't throw it away. That'd be great. It's recycle it, at least if you're going to do that. Okay, but here's what I want you to do. If you turn around, it says, let's pray together. What are we praying for? Three things. Wisdom. I need your prayers. There are so many decisions that we got to make. So many decisions, okay? Number two, clarity. What does that mean? Clarity to know your unique contribution. I know if you called Mosaic your home, if this ministry, if this church, like you watch online, there are people who give online and you've never been here. You've never been to a live service and you're out of state, you're out of the country. Love you, okay? And I would thank you for that. What's your unique contribution? I don't know what it is, but I know you have something. What is it, okay? And lastly, favor. Favor to pursue the vision and plans. We need major amounts of favor because we have all kinds of permits, apparently. I think the States has more permits than anything because back in Kuwait, we could just do whatever. But apparently, you can't do it here. What is the problem? Can we move that wall? No. What? The kind of... You know, safety first, whatever. Whatever. But we need these people, our neighbors are going to vote for a lot of things that we want to do here. The tent that we put up, I mean, they don't know that it's actually screwed down to the ground, if you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, there's a lot, they do that. There's a lot of favor we need. So, I'm going to end with this. I know you need prayer when it comes to your call. Okay, I know. So I want to pray with you. And this series is about praying together about your unique thing, what's happening in your family, in your relationships. But it's also about us. So let's pray together. Let's pray together. And let's see what God has for us. Cool? Well, let's pray. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this conversation. I thank you for the next couple of weeks, God, as we go deeper into what you're calling us to. Leaving the shallow life, Lord, moving into a deeper knowledge of you, but also a deeper experience with you. And God, for some of us, it's going to require us to move past our fears and our uncertainty. It's going to cause us to really challenge some of the beliefs that we have always held on to. God, there are some of us who operate on a worldview of scarcity, a worldview of just making sure that we take care of ourselves. It's a worldview that honestly is not connected to your kingdom. It's less than that, because your kingdom is more. God, you don't want to just bless us by providing overwhelming resources for us like you did for the early disciples. You want to make us fishers of men and women. You want us to be a blessing, not just to just get one. So Father, would you speak to us? I pray faith over our unique individual call, but then also as a church, God, would you move us towards what you have for us? God, I thank you for the day that we will stand and see what you've done because of our obedience. God, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.